Blog Talk Radio.
Start the clock. Good afternoon. At the tone, time will be real time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Let's Change the World. Just a few seconds late. Blog Talk Radio. You know how it go. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's going to be a great show today. The Let's Change the World weekly talk radio show is a product of the Let's Change the World movement. The movement is all about everybody doing whatever little bit we can, no matter how small it is, to positively impact somebody else's life other than our own, or to positively impact our community as a whole. And if we all do whatever little bit we can, then together we can change the world. We can make it happen, y'all. Don't just sit there. We all want change, so you got to get off your dead ass and do something to make change happen. That's what the movement is all about, encouraging everybody to get off their dead ass and get involved. It's going to be a great show, like I said. If you want to know more about the movement, you can visit www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. And it wouldn't be a show without my better half, my radio wife, Cheryl Alisa. Are you there?
Hey, Dale. Good evening. Hey, everybody. I'm here. How are you?
I'm even better now that you're here.
You better be. No. How are you doing? How are you?
I'm good. I miss you. I miss the show and everything. I miss the whole experience.
I know, right? I miss you too, but we're back. We're back on the air, which is a good thing. And I'm glad
absolutely. Absolutely. To all you Cleveland Browns fans, didn't they end up winning today?
They
I had to
won
leave the game.
Today. Can you believe that?
I know. Can you believe it? And Cincinnati, poor Cincinnati, they lost.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
that's
but they
okay.
were playing. They were playing like San Francisco. You know what I mean? So it's not. It's a bittersweet victory. It's like we're playing one of the sorrier teams in the league, and we won one finally. So I'm happy that we won, but we got to take it with a grain of salt, you know.
Definitely,
but Menzel,
definitely.
He looked real good. I'm so happy.
He looked very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
He looked good. And I know that you were happy because I know that's your team. And, you know, good luck, even though this season is about over. You know, I'm not a Browns fan, but I'm not hating on them either. So I don't want anybody out there in radio land to be like, oh, my God. I mean, they did. They look good today, and I'm happy they won.
But I'm in South Florida, so, you know, they're Cleveland haters down here because of the whole LeBron thing, you know what I mean? So we can't see a game unless you go to the bar, and then you go to the bar, and they won't turn up the volume on the Cleveland game. So it's kind of crazy.
That's okay. That's okay. They won, yeah. So that's all that matters. Congratulations.
That's all that matters. Absolutely. Okay, let's get on with the show. First thing we're going to start out with is the usual ridiculous news. And there's some ridiculous stuff going on out there today. There was a 99-year-old
okay.
lady. 99-year-old lady won a shopping spree at the dollar store. You know what I mean? A shopping spree at the 99-cent store. And she's 99 years old, right? So, I mean, it's like how much can a 99-year-old get in the dollar store? But she managed to get $167 worth of items. And guess what she did with everything she got?
What? Oh, my God.
Gave it away.
What did she? Did she?
She gave it all away to needy families and everything. So that was such an awesome thing, I thought.
How thoughtful, yes. How
yeah,
thoughtful.
So it's some good people out there, you guys. You know, some really good people out there. Merry Christmas to whoever was the beneficiary of all that good stuff from the dollar store.
And how much did she get? Like, she had a, how much did they give her for this spree?
Well, it was a shopping spree, so, like, it's one of those things where you had a certain amount of time to get as much as you can get.
Oh, okay, one of the, okay, so, yeah, like shop to your shop or something. Okay, okay, okay.
Right, and so she's 99 years old, so, I mean, unless she's a really, really healthy 99-year-old, I mean, I don't know how much. Hopefully they allow somebody to help her, you know what I'm saying? But you're in a dollar store, so, you know, she only ended up getting $167 worth of stuff, but she gave it all away, which I thought was kind of cool. So
okay, and that was great.
Watch out for the hoverboards. They will explode on you, okay? You know those hoverboards they got now where you jump on and you roll?
Right.
They will explode on you.
They're trying to ban them in New York. Really?
Yeah. So that's what they've been doing. Two of them exploded, one in Seattle and one somewhere else. So be careful on the hoverboards, man. They will blow up on you. That's been going down. Also, it's all kinds of stuff going on out there. Somebody built a chicken McNugget machine out of Lego blocks. And so McDonald's is suing them because it can make real chicken McNuggets. I mean, it's like a real machine, and they built it out of Lego blocks.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding you. This is the kind of stuff.
And they're suing them.
Yeah, McDonald's is suing them because, you know, obviously you can't just sit there and make McDonald's going to get their piece of the money. You know that.
Right.
They're not going to just sit there. Yeah. So it's all kind of stuff going on out there all over the place. My computer's not working right, so I can't go over any more good stuff. But it's kind of terrible. Let's move into jobs. You got some because my computer's acting up, and I can't go over mine yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I can go ahead and start with the ones that I have. Of course, we do this segment, you know, when we do the show. So all you listeners out there, if you can, real quick, go ahead and grab a pen and a piece of paper. So if you're looking for a job, or even, you know, someone that is looking for a job, you know, there are jobs available out here. That's number one. You know what I mean? And before I get into mine real quick, I wanted to say that because even though I know some people, you know, different felonies that they have and, you know, they're saying, you know, there's no jobs out here. There actually are jobs out here. They're doing a lot of hiring now, Dale, felons, at nice companies where they can be able to move up and make, you know, a decent living. And I wanted to stress that because I've heard that over time that people are always saying, well, there's no jobs out here. I can't get a job. You know what? You have to really and truly put your foot to the pavement, be very serious about it, research. Once you put an application in, you continually call and check back on the show, you know, that you're interested. You know, and that it's just a good thing to give those tips out. One of the first jobs here, mine, of course, is covering Ohio. One of the first jobs that I saw that I thought was very interesting is Akron General Hospital. They are actually hiring, and they're hiring in a lot of different departments there. And they're actually trying to hire now at least 99 employees. So if you guys are here in the Akron area or Cleveland area, Akron General Hospital, and what you're going to do is you're going to submit your application and your resume at the careers page at www.akrongeneral.org/careers. Let me say that again, www.akrongeneral.org/careers. That is the first one. And again, they're hiring for in all different departments, so just not one particular department. So you guys go online and fill that application out. I've also found one, which is a customer service. It's for a collection office. Stanley Staffing is actually the staffing agency who's over this job. It's offering $11 per hour, and you just really need 2 years of retail experience. That's all they're asking for. They're also asking for, a background check, and you got to do a drug screen. but to contact for those jobs, and they're all the collection jobs. There's plenty of them, not just one. There's plenty. So to contact Casey, that's who you're going to contact, and the telephone number is area code 330-869-2399. Again, her name is Casey from Stanley Staffing, and the telephone number is area code 330-869-2399. Okay, and my next one, this is up in Cleveland, Ohio, everyone. So anybody that's listening from Cleveland, and again, you can be from Akron, Canton, surrounding areas, don't limit yourself just to one city. If you have transportation and it sounds good to you, get on up there. And this one actually is a call center in Cleveland as well. You do inbound calling, and they are only asking for 6 months experience. If not, they will train you. And the hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. They are starting out at $14 an hour. $14 an hour, guys. So, and also, well, I take that back, even if you don't have a vehicle, because they're saying that this job actually is on the bus line, and it takes you to Cleveland. They're starting actually December 14th. So the telephone number for that is 330-869-2399 again, and you're going to ask for Nikki. 869-2399. And that's, again, that's for Cleveland Call Center. It's up in Cleveland, Ohio. The next one I have is in Beechwood, Ohio, and it is for three positions for front desk dental assistant. So not only will you be assisting as far as dental, but you also will be front desk receptionist. And that's in Beechwood, Ohio, and they're starting out at $15 an hour. And you don't have to have any experience, which is a good thing. You don't have to have any experience for this front desk dental position. The phone number that you want to fax your resume to is 216-342-4388. Again, you want to fax your resume to area code 216-342-4388. And I have one more, which is in Columbus, Ohio, Grove City. I don't know if anybody is familiar with Grove City. It's in Columbus. If we have any Columbus listeners out there, and again, the surrounding cities, feel free to go and apply for this position, which is for FedEx. They're actually hiring for multiple positions. They have a couple of them. Driving positions, and the other ones are office positions, and it's for FedEx, and they're actually, it's a Monday through Friday job, and they're actually starting out at $15 an hour. And if you are interested in this job, again, Grove City, Ohio, the FedEx in Grove City, you want to call area code 614-209-3415. Again, that phone number is area code 614-209-3415. And good luck. Good luck.
Okay, y'all, grab your pens and paper and have them ready, because I'm going to be moving real fast. So you got to be ready to go when you hear what you want. South Florida in Miami, professional services business coordinator. Okay, the company description, the name of the company is Caseya, K-A-S-E-Y-A. This is an IT position. Well, it's not actually an IT position. It's an IT company, but they're looking for a person who can document business processes and systems requirements, create projects, and schedule customer education and professional services engagements. If you got those skills, go there. They're looking for a field sales representative at Slomins, S-L-O-M-I-N-S, Slomins. $15 an hour, field services representative in Hollywood, okay? Also, a part-time aviation security agent in Miami. Name of the company is Global Elite Group $14.27 an hour. Global elite group. Must possess valid state-issued driver's license or a valid ID. Also, in Delray Beach, they're looking for a cart maintenance technician, $600 a week, GEMCO, J-I-M as in Mary, C-O, Maintenance Incorporated is the name of the company, GEMCO Maintenance Incorporated. Also, Court Administration, 17th Circuit Court in Fort Lauderdale, they're looking for a personnel specialist. So it's the Court Administration, City of Fort Lauderdale. Look that up. $35,772 a year to start. You'll maintain personnel records and databases, so on and so forth. Plantation, Dental Care Alliance, Front Desk Receptionist, that's Dental Care Alliance. Atlanta, you guys out there in Atlanta, they're looking for a warehouse maintenance trainee, not just one, but several of them, up to $30 an hour. Name of the company is Uline. That's U-L-I-N-E in Buford. Okay, Uline in Buford, up to $30 an hour. They'll train and develop warehouse managers and so forth. Payroll administrator for a consulting firm, and the name of the firm is Warbird, W-A-R-B-I-R-D, Consulting Partners in Atlanta. Warbird, okay, payroll administrator for a consulting firm. Family Voices Incorporated in Atlanta. They're looking to pay somebody $20 an hour for a child helper, caregiver, or sitter. Okay, $20 an hour to babysit. Sounds good to me. Also in the ATL, specifically Alpharetta, UPS is hiring a government operations specialist. He or she tracks shipments and follows up with destination offices and agents to verify accurate shipment. UPS. Chi-Town, Chicago, to our listeners up there, they're looking for an office associate, option two. It's OPT2. I assume that stands for option. It's the state of Illinois in Cook County. Okay, they're looking to start you somewhere between $2,900 to $4,000 a month. Also, Chicago Park District, they're looking to pay somebody $14.13 an hour. The job is an attendant. It's a part-time job. Desirable previous experience includes use of maintenance equipment and supplies such as cleaning agents, waxes, and the operation of a floor buffing machine. If you have that experience, $14.13 an hour is part-time, but once you get your foot in the door, who knows? Project manager, they're looking for one at LKF Leasing, Lima Kilo Foxtrot. That's in Chicago, $85,000 a year, project manager. They're looking for a bachelor's degree in a related field, so give them a call if you have that. And I had just a couple for the North Carolina Piedmont, and then we'll move on. But AT&T is hiring in Greensboro. They're looking for business customer service specialist, $13.48 to $15.26 per hour based on experience. That's AT&T. Look them up. Cardinal Innovations Healthcare Solutions, they're looking for administration support specialist, front desk. Answer incoming calls, determine purpose of call, transfer call to appropriate personnel or department according to appropriate triage list. Also, True Lion Federal Credit Union, that's in Winston-Salem, member services representative is what they're looking for. So check that out. That's True Lion Federal Credit Union in Winston. So there's a lot of jobs out there, like she said, ladies and gentlemen. Don't sit there and do nothing. You know, don't sit there and complain. Get off your dead behind and go look for a job. We're going to be putting them out there every show. So tune in for your community. We're going to have new jobs every show, okay? All right. So call in 818-739-8909. Express yourself. We're going to move into books and music that change your world, and we've got an author who's been on the show a couple times before, but we can't get enough of him. He's a top-selling author of the Loves Me Not series. For anybody out there who's read any of those books, you know what type of a writer this guy is. And we're going to bring him on right now so you guys can hear what he's got going on now, because he's got some new stuff going on. Author Kenny L. Mitchell. Are you out there? Blog Talk Radio, let's try it again. Okay, are you out there? Author Kenny L. Mitchell.
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Dale?
There you go. There you go. How you doing, my man?
Hey, Kenny.
I'm doing great. Hey, Cheryl, how you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Good. Good.
What's going on, Kenny? Start by telling us about, you know, for those who really haven't had an opportunity to read any of your books, tell them a little bit about the Loves Me Not series.
Yes. Okay. Well, the Loves Me Not series is about domestic violence and abusive relationships. Right now, it's a trilogy. The first set of the story is a trilogy of books. And originally when I wrote it, like I was telling you guys before, is that it was one massive volume, but when I was under my old publisher, we decided to break it down as a trilogy and kind of treat it kind of like a soap opera, and at the very end leave you at a cliffhanger. What's going on right now, and after I left my publisher, I decided to release the books under my own imprint called The Heavenly Expressions. We've gone on to expand into music also, and we're working on a play right now and a lot of other exciting things. I'll be so excited to share with you guys tonight.
So when you say you expanded out into music and things like that, what exactly are you doing? Are you producing, or can people come to you with their music, or what exactly are you doing?
Well, I'm actually working with a brilliant gospel singer named Brian Saxon right now, and he's on the cusp of, on the verge of about to open his own production studio. When I'm talking about doing music, ever since I was a kid, I've always loved to write, and when I was working with a producer about working on some video clips and all for expanding the book series, he said, well, Ken, I've been reading some of your poetry. Why don't you try to write some musical lyrics? And I'm like, I've never done that before. And he showed me the basic format for doing so. And it was just really just a year ago, Dale. And I went from that, and I've actually written over 200 songs. And Angela Nicole of Angela Nicole Productions, yeah. And she one of the first ones I wrote was called I Am a Queen. And the book series deals with how young women, instead of treating yourself like a, I gotta say common, but you know, somebody who's being treated less than, you should carry yourself like a queen, because a woman, all women, should be treated like queens, you know, and that's one of the themes of the book. So the song I Am a Queen was actually taken and recorded by my friend Brian, and Angela was so taken with it, she was so moved by it that she actually wants to close the play out with it. So Brian and I have been working together on other music and all, and we're just so excited to share some of that with you. We're still in a lot of the planning stages, but it's going so phenomenal. It's great. It really is.
Wow, I'm so proud of you, man. You're doing so many different things. How do you find time to do all of this?
I can't. No, I'm just kidding. I was just telling somebody the other day, my sister made me actually get out of town this weekend and go take like a little small break. And even during that small break, I was in a motel room, and I was near the beach. And I'm sitting here actually, you know, typing on my keyboard, taking right now notes. I'm like, I could have did this from home, but I understand what she was saying, is that you have to take those opportunities to breathe and appreciate life. It can't be work 24/7, but between the music, the play, the book series, and actually doing this publishing and editing, and I've been doing lately is I've been giving advice to other young authors as well. As a matter of fact, a young lady got in contact with me today via Instagram, and she was so frustrated. She was so aggravated because she had sent out a copy of her book, Dale, to a critic to read it, and he basically destroyed her. And I actually had to, you know, tell her, I said, listen, everybody in the world is not going to like what you do, but it's important that you love what you do, because at the end of the day, what you're doing, even if it seems minuscule and, you know, small, it could actually save and, like your show, change somebody's life. So that's what we have to focus on. You can't focus on the negativity. Don't ever do that, because the minute you do that, the minute you believe somebody else's negativity, that's when you're truly through.
And not
yeah,
to get spiritual
right.
on you, but I'm about to get spiritual on you real quick. The devil is alive, and he's always going to try to send somebody to bring you down in whatever positive you're trying to do.
That's true. Absolutely. Absolutely so.
Now, out of all those that you just sat there and named, which one do you like? Cause which one do you like the best? Like, it has to be one particular one. You're an author. You're writing music now. Like, you said you're giving other people up and coming authors advice or what have you. Out of everything that you just named for us, which one do you like the best? Like, which one really stands out to you?
Cheryl, I really love being an author first and foremost. I really do. And it's not just writing the book series that's so great. It's actually just writing poetry and changing somebody's heart and making somebody feel beautiful, making somebody feel worthy. I have I work another job too, and a coworker came to me the other day, and he wanted to do something special for his mother for Christmas. And you know, he said, "I can buy her jewelry, but she's got all the jewelry." And you know, he said, "I just want to do something special." I said, "Why don't you just write something for her and just tell her how you feel? Because you know, those words they can be hanging on a wall or whatever forever." He said, "Well, I can't really write." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Tell me how you feel about your mother." And he started describing how she was always there for him, even when his dad wasn't, and how she was a beautiful, strong woman, and, you know, always made him go to church and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so the next day, I came back, and I took and put it on decorative paper, and I gave it to him. I put it in the frame. And so he read it, and he came back to me later on, and this grown man had tears in his eyes. He's like, "How'd you write that about my mother? How'd you know my mother so well?" I said, "I didn't. I just put it in a poetic form. Those are your words, exactly how you
really
said." Yes, and that's happened so many times. I've written for people's children being born, for weddings, for graduations, sadly enough, for funerals. And sometimes people don't have the words. But when we, as an artist, as a writer, it's my responsibility. God gave me this ability to give the words that can change somebody's heart, that can make somebody feel better about themselves, to get somebody past that terrible transition of losing somebody to healing. And that's what we've got to do with our gifts. We've got to use them to make this world a better place.
And you know what? I have been saying for years and years that the best way to heal a relationship is to put your feelings on paper. Because what happens for anybody out there that's having relationship trouble right now, you get to arguing and both people trying to talk at the same time. You're talking over each other. Nobody can hear the other. Mm-hmm. And then you have a thought and the other person's going to interrupt you before you can get your point out of your mouth. But when you're writing, you get to sit there and write everything that you feel down on paper, and you can erase and rewrite it and get the words as perfect as you need them to be, and then submit them to that person, and that person can't interrupt you, because when you hand them that letter, they're going to sit down and read it. They can't interrupt you. You get to get your whole point across, and then they can respond and do the same thing. And I have helped a lot of people myself in relationships just by telling them, "Hey, write each other."
Right.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I mean,
you know, some people think they don't have the words. Sometimes, you know, you don't have to have the words. Just whatever you feel, just put them on paper. It'll be all right.
Oh, yes, it will. Absolutely so. There's a old saying, Dale, that, you know, that a lot of authors have used. Actually, I saw, can't remember what the author was. He said, "The pen is a long arm for the grave. What you write down will resonate and will be here long after we are gone." So I am grateful that even when I'm not here and my son can't hear the words, "I love you, son," he can go back to one of my books and go to the dedications and see that, you know, "Son, you are the greatest thing that ever happened to me." I don't care how many accolades or how many things, positive things I get in my life, nothing is going to be more incredible to me than to know that my son knew that his father tried to make something of his life. And the things I'm doing is not so much I'm trying to make myself a better person for myself, but I want my son to realize at the end of the day, no matter what anybody says, you can't make your dreams come true, even if you come from a limited supplies, even if you come from a background where people want to judge you for your skin color or your political affiliations or your sexual choices or anything. At the end of the day and all, you define yourself for yourself, and if necessary, sometimes even by yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of wise words there. So you're changing people's lives, it sounds like, with your poetry and everything. Where can people find some of your poetry?
Oh, you can read them online at theheavenlyexpressions.com. You can always inbox me on Facebook. And there's something I actually wanted to share with you guys tonight. I actually wanted to say to both of you, thank you so very much, because the last time we were talking about domestic violence, we got a couple of phone calls in, and it's one of the things that's always asked during interviews, whether it's about this, that, or the other stuff. And I was like, okay, your book's about domestic violence. Why are you always writing from a woman's perspective? When are the brothers going to get their chance? When are we going to get their opportunity? And I hope I'm not jumping the gun, but, you know, and leaping from the poetry parts to what I wanted to announce.
No,
I'm so excited.
No, go ahead. Because that is true.
Dale, sure, this is – actually, I give both credit to both of you. That's why I wanted to come on your show tonight. What I'm actually going to do for this year is I'm going to write a book about male domestic violence. And I've been talking to some brothers – and, wow, I am speechless. Some of the stuff I found out.
Does it exist? Yes, it does.
Oh, it exists. It is not.
Well, I got some stories for you myself.
Oh, we're going to talk with Lion then, brother. I got to interview you then. Yes.
Yeah,
it is surreal. I'm looking at a grown man's face. I'm talking to him, and he sounds like he's literally wounded. I've talked to women before, you know, who have been abused, and the same dead spirit, the same hopelessness, the same fear, the same I don't know what to do next is reflected in a man's eyes too. So I'm tentatively calling it A Man Can Cry Too or Men Cry Too. And it's going to be really a tearjerker, and it's going to be really real. We're using positive examples. We're also using real examples. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to really knock you off your feet. I'm so excited about it. I really am.
Wow.
Yeah, because
it does. It exists, and a lot of people don't talk about it because it's always – when you hear domestic violence, the first thing you think is the male was the one who did the female wrong. You know what I mean? It's always pointed towards the male being the aggressor or the abuser. And a lot of people don't know that it not only does it exist, but it's huge. Like, women are now abusing their spouse, their boyfriend, whoever. They're abusing the male counterpart, and it's getting worse and worse. And they
and you
don't
know
talk
what, a
about
lot of
it.
People,
that's just the thing.
A lot of people don't understand there are different types of abuse, too. You know, you got the physical abuse, which is what most people think of first. But then you have emotionally, a man being bigger and stronger than most women. But, you know, a man can be broken down very easily with emotional abuse. You know what I mean? If he loves a woman, and a woman takes advantage of that love, and she can abuse him, she can use his love against him and abuse him in that way. And then the physical abuse happens as well, because I actually had a woman leap out and bite me in my face. You know, and she used to, the thing with her was, you know, we lived together. We had a two-year-old daughter. It wasn't my daughter. It was her daughter, but I was like a father to her for years. But, you know, she knew that I wasn't the type of man to hit a woman. So she took advantage of that. So she could do things to me knowing that I'm not going to backlash and beat the heck out of her. And have you heard anything
okay.
like that?
You said that she took advantage of you because she knew that you weren't going to lash back out at her. Did you hear that, Kenny?
Right, because, yeah, she knew that I wasn't the type to hit a woman, so she could get away with hitting me without being worried about me beating her. Does that make sense?
Wow. My personal opinion is this. It has to be apparently already in her. I don't think it was just the fact that she knows that you're not going to do it, or maybe you felt intimidated. You know what I mean? Maybe it's just there's women out here that it's just in them like that. You know what I mean? Just as well as it is.
Yeah, it was in her, but you know, at the same time, if I was the type of girl, I mean guy. That's what I say. If I was the type of guy if I was the type of guy where if a woman, you know, hit me, now it's to turn around and beat the heck out of her and put her in the hospital or something like that, she would think twice about abusing me. But because she knew that would never happen, you know, then she had no, she had nothing stopping her from abusing me.
Right.
She knew that I was never going to turn around and backhand her across the room. You know.
Okay, yeah,
so
and
she,
I get, right.
Yeah.
Where is Kenny at? So where is his?
I don't know. I'm wondering. I'm waiting on him to chime in, and I don't know where he went. Kenny, are you still there?
Kenny?
Okay. No, he's not there. Looks like he got disconnected. Here he goes.
Hi, can you hear me?
Kenny, are you there?
Yes, it's so funny. I've been thinking all the time, like, oh, I've been saying, like, hallelujah, amen, amen, that's right. So what's going on? I lost connection for a second. You know how technology is. But I'm sitting up here saying, hallelujah, amen, and Dale, people who are abusers, they pick their victims well. And just to go to Cheryl's point, absolutely. What happens is that that young lady has seen or been a part of some sort of domestic violence. She saw somebody in her family doing that, and that she, it's a learned behavior. You just don't do that. You don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to kick somebody's behind. You learn that behavior. You think it's okay, and it's not. It's not. It's absolutely not.
Right.
Yeah, and Cheryl, I'm sure you've heard me say it a million times with the Unlimited Education Project. We proved that, you know, when a baby, you know, sees daddy hit his mother, you know, and then his mother go do whatever daddy says or whatever, then rather it's a boy or girl, then they pick up that behavior. Your brain is like a computer, and it records it in the data bank, you know, and it comes back
up
years later.
Right,
yes,
but then you have to also remember people, sometimes kids mimic their parents as well. You know what I mean? That's what it is. They do. You know, they've seen it growing up in the household, so that's what they know, you know, or that's all they know. You know, and sometimes
and some parents actually
sound. As strange as it sounds, some people really truly think that it's okay. Like, this is what you're supposed to do. Or, you know, this person loves me. Yeah, this person loves me, because if not, they wouldn't. Why would they put their hands on me if they didn't love me? You know, they are really truly in that mindset. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and that's
they
true,
are.
Because what happens is with a lot of parents, especially daddies, you know, these old school minded men who, you know, think that you're supposed to put a woman in her place, they will train their son that. You know, they'll sit there and raise their son to believe that, hey, don't let your woman run all over you. If she try to run all over you, you smack her and put her back in her place. You hear me, son?
Oh, yeah.
And he will grow up and not know right from wrong. He will think that this is what a man is supposed to do. If this woman get out of line, you put her back in line. You know what I mean? Physically.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. You know,
what
I actually know
stuff like that, Kenny.
It's sickening and it's sad, because I actually have an example that supports what Dale is saying. I know this lady, and she has a son. He's now in high school, and his father told him that, you know, if a woman comes up to you and puts her hands on you, she is no longer a woman. You fight her like a man. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of backwards thinking is that? I kid you not.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, and you know what the guy, and I told the lady, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I'm telling you this as a friend. You are not saving college tuition money. You are basically saving either bail money or funeral cost money, because somebody is going to wind up hurting your child, you know, because that is the breeding ground. That is the thought process that actually breeds an abuser. And I said, don't do that. I said, let me tell you something. Anytime a person puts their hands on somebody else and everything and all, and unless you're defending yourself and all, that is a form of abuse. And as a matter of fact, I tell anybody, get out. If somebody starts putting their hand on you, it always starts verbally. It always does. They start chipping away at a person's self-esteem. And it's like, you know, and they'll start snapping at you. And next thing you're wondering, what in the world? What happened to this loving person I knew before? And next thing you know, it winds up somebody physically hitting somebody else. It does not have to get to that point. You don't have to accept that. That is not love. I'll tell anybody, that is never going to be love in this lifetime. Somebody putting their hands on you, the only time somebody should put their hands on you is to comfort you, to love you, to console you, to tell you you're not alone on the face of this earth. There's no, if you can show me somewhere in the Bible where God tells us we need to smack another person down, or that's what marriage is supposed to be about and everything, please somebody call in and tell me. That's not it. That's not love. It's not. And it never will be love.
Well,
that's
what have
right.
you found out? What have women been telling you as you've been doing some of these interviews as to why they stay in some of these abusive relationships?
The first thing they say, Dale and Cheryl, is that I thought I could make him change. I thought it would get better. Maybe it was something I did. You know, I love him. I don't know what in the world I can do without him. But the biggest thing is I think I can make that person change. Impossible. The only person you can change on the face of this earth is yourself. And if a person does not want to go through the exercise, the labors of actually changing, it's not going to happen. And usually that doesn't happen until a person has given a reason to change. And in most cases, that situation is that something that happens and that does not happen in our society, in the African-American community, is that we don't seek counseling. We think if, you know, if we have like a heart disease or diabetes or if we're sick or something else, we have no qualms, no reservations about going to see a physician. However, in our community, if something is psychologically wrong with us and we try to seek some sort of counseling, we're considered crazy, so we're shunned instead of going to counseling. So I'll tell anybody, you're going to have to get some sort of counseling somewhere along the way. You can't make that change by yourself. And the first step into correcting a problem is to admitting you have one in the first place. And so many people don't want to admit that they have an issue, that they have a temper problem, or that maybe they saw their mother and father beating each other, and maybe that's an issue, and they need to break that cycle. So many people are afraid to simply say, I need some help.
818-739-8909. I see we got a lot of callers out there. Don't be afraid to dial number one and express yourself on anything we're talking about here or anything else you want to bring up for that matter. Just dial number one and express yourself. But you know what? When you said that people want to change people, from my perspective with the Unlimited Education Project, what we learned is by the time you're age 6 or 7 years old, your basic personality has been set. You know what I mean? And the older you get, the more you get set in your ways. So if you're in a relationship and the person's only 20 years old, the chances of you changing that person are slim and numb. It takes a catastrophic circumstance to change a person. You know what I mean? Either an accident, an illness, or something that deeply hurts them or offense or something to change them. You cannot just change a person's basic personality.
No. You're right. No. And it usually comes, like you just said, when a person has a traumatic event. If you see a family member passing away, if you see, you know, you're about to go to jail or something like that, when you have those traumatic events, that's when a person wants to change. But you don't have to wait that late. But you can't.
Because
I mean,
a tragic
event
might be you getting beat half to death.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? You don't want your death to be that catalyst for them to change. Now it's too late.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you are going around and speaking on domestic violence and everything now too, right?
Yes, I am. I haven't given a speech in a while, but it's kind of funny. You know, you think – I'll put it this way. You can speak on domestic violence anywhere in the world. My nephew's nephew's daughter, she came to the house a while ago, and my sister brought my dad home from her house visiting today. And so I was getting ready to call in your show. She said, Uncle Kenny, I heard you're a famous author. I said, I'm your Uncle Kenny first and foremost. And so she says, I want to read your books. I said, how old are you, honey? She said, I'm 14. And so I'm talking to her and everything, and I said, listen, I think my books may be a little bit too adult for you, but I'll sit down and talk to your dad and to your mother, and we'll discuss it, you know, see if you're ready to read these books or not. And she told me about some of the things she's seen in this world. Dale, Cheryl, I'm like this. When I was 14 years old, I didn't know half the stuff these kids are knowing nowadays. So I had an opportunity to sit down and talk to her, and she says, you know, even at that young age, people are talking about abuse. Children are having sex. I'm like, what in the world? You know, I was 14 years old. All thing we did was just, you know, basically watch cartoons and, you know, hung around with my brothers and sisters. But these children are exposed to so much stuff nowadays. So when I give public speaking now, it's great if I'm standing in front of a church or in front of a group of people talking everything and all. But what's so great is that one-on-one holding a conversation with somebody. And sometimes, too, Dale, people feel more comfortable speaking on a one-on-one basis than they do in front of talking in front of a group. Because they don't really feel like, you know, they feel like sharing, and, you know, they'll feel like, you know, nobody's going through this except for me. That's a lot. Everybody in this world, I don't care who you are, is up against something. You might think your problems are worse than anybody else and all, but all it is that it's you have a problem. You have an issue. I promise you, though, if you actually seek help, seek prayer, and talk to somebody sometimes, 9 times out of 10, you'll find a solution. If nothing else, you'll feel better about
mm-hmm.
it.
And
that's
I always
right.
tell people,
that
what you think is so bad today, go get you a good night's sleep. Stuff don't seem
yes.
half as bad tomorrow after good night's sleep as it did the day before. You ever notice that?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's just something about getting a good night's sleep. Say a prayer before you go to sleep. Say a prayer, go to sleep. You wake up the next day, you got a whole new attitude, perspective on everything. You know. And another thing I always say is don't let tomorrow's troubles worry you today. You know, let today's
yes.
troubles be sufficient for the day. God said that. Jesus Christ said that. He said, let today's troubles
right.
be sufficient for today, and tomorrow's troubles, wait till tomorrow to worry about those.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Very
well,
true.
Kenny, we want to move on with the rest of the show. You're welcome to hang out. But make sure everybody knows exactly where to find your books at and everything that
okay.
you do, your poetry and everything, one last time. Everybody should have pens and paper from our job segment.
Oh, yes, definitely. Where you can buy the books at and everything is you can reach us. If you have any comments you want to buy the books directly, you can always go through author Kenny L. Mitchell on Facebook. The company website is The Heavenly Expressions, altogether, TheHeavenlyExpressionsPublishing.com. Anywhere they sell fine books like Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, you can do that. Right now, if you get in contact with me via Facebook, I will actually not only sell you a book, I'll autograph it for you as well. And also, too, I just want to give a shout-out to the people I mentioned earlier, like my marketing consultant, Marilyn Moving Mountain Mills, Angela Nicole, so many wonderful, Brian Saxton, so many wonderful people. And I just wanted to say thank you to both of you so much because when we had that last interview, I came on your show, I was thinking about that. Why in the world am I just giving the perspective of just women when there are men as well? So sometime in 2016 or hopefully 2017, we're going to get this book out into the market, and we're doing another imprint called Local Legends where we're doing biographies and autobiographies of people in our community to let our young people know that, hey, there are heroes surrounding you each and every day. You're not going to meet LeBron James and everything, but the man down the street who's won his first elected position, he's an African-American. Go talk to that man and see what he did to become your local hero.
Oh, my God. You're right up my alley there. You're talking about the
yes.
Let's Change the World movement, recognizing those little people who do big things.
That's what we're supposed to
yeah.
do.
And I shouldn't
absolutely.
Say little people. I should say ordinary people, regular everyday people who do extraordinary things.
Exactly. Because that's what we
yeah.
are, you know.
That's
yeah,
what
that's
this is all about, man. I hope everybody out there is getting inspiration from you because
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing some great things and you're all about, you just sound so selfless, you know what I mean? Nothing you have said is selfish. You know, I have to beg you to tell everybody where your books are. You know. So I appreciate that
thank
so
you.
Much in you. Hey,
well,
I want to
you
see
so
what your
much,
take
man.
Is. If you got a few minutes to stick around, if you don't, it's okay. But
okay.
we want to move on because the name of the title of today's show is Year in Review and A Year to Renew. We want
right.
to transition from the year 2015 to the year 2016. So we want to start by going over some of the things that went on in 2015 and just kind of reflect on where we're at and how we got to where we are right now. And one of the big things, one of the big stories last year was Bill Cosby.
Mm.
And me and Cheryl,
yeah.
we've been wanting to talk about Bill Cosby for about, what, 6 months now.
Oh,
and,
my
we just,
Lord, yes.
Yes.
Every
yes.
show, we say, this show, we're going to talk about Bill Cosby. And for some reason, we just
okay.
never get around to it because the topics we'd be talking about just be so interesting. And we just never get around to old Bill. What do you think about Bill
so.
Cosby?
I tell you what, I tell you what, when something happens between two people behind closed doors, you can't really say because unless you're a fly on the wall, you don't really know. I will say this, a lot of the stories have similarities, and it's a tragic situation because if that man did that and everything and all, even if he bypasses the system and, you know somehow or another, you know, comes off, you know, not guilty, but he did it, he's going to have to answer to God. If these women made these accusations and they're not true, they're going to have to answer to God. So how I feel about it is this. I'm in a wait-and-see pattern right now because I wasn't there. I haven't seen or read all the evidence and all. But it's really a tragic situation because he was one of my inspirations growing up. I'm like, well, I want to be like, you know, I wanted to live in his house growing up. But now it's like, wow, I'm glad now I didn't, if that's what really happened behind closed doors. But I would say this and everything and all. Don't jump to the conclusion. Wait till all the evidence comes in and all and pray for all the parties that's involved.
What do you say, Cheryl?
Well, you know, I agree with some of what Kenny has said, to be honest with you. And, of course, yeah, of course we weren't there. Let's just start with that. Of course we were not there. And it's just, to me, I feel like when you, number one, when you are saying an accusation like that, when you put an accusation out like that, you have to be for sure. And, yes, of course, I know that that accusation has been thrown millions of times and come to find out, you know, that person was just making that story up. I don't know why. I have a feeling that he is guilty. And of course, you know, innocent until proven guilty. I get that. I get that wholeheartedly. I'm a female. I've been in a situation similar like that, not quite, but similar. And what was crazy to me was one of the stories that one of the ladies had told made my heart just drop because believe the same thing that happened to me. I mean, seriously, like verbatim. And it was crazy to me. I respect Bill Cosby as an actor. I think he really and truly has his best interest as far as, you know, kids going to college. And, you know, he's an activist. You know, he's really good as far as, you know, as getting the word out there about kids and their education. He's not Dr. Cliff Huxtable, and we have to remember that. People think that, you know, that's what they see when they see Bill Cosby. They see him, you know, he's just like his character on The Cosby Show. That's what people see. We have to understand that he is human. We have to understand that he can make
mistakes. That's like every role model. I think we should remember that.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, but see, that's what it
the
is.
Sports
see,
heroes.
And that's people exactly. And that's the thing, you know, and not getting away from this, but real quick, it's, that's the thing. You have to know how to separate television from reality because that's a part of it. I hear a lot of people, we have this discussion about Bill Cosby. They, again, to reiterate, they put him in on this pedestal of Dr. Cliff Huxtable, knowingly that, you know, of course, this is the character that he played. So we have to remember outside of that, this man is still human. I'm in shock. I'm appalled. I don't know if you gentlemen have heard the different stories that these women have told, not just, you know, okay, this person is saying that he, you know, he drugged them and he raped them or whatever. Just like down to the whole story of these different women that have came out. I mean, it is just, it's just crazy. It's just crazy.
But you know what,
though?
You know what? My thing is this. I agree with Kenny on the fact that, you know, only God knows what happens in a room between two people. Only he knows what, you know, the true hearts and souls of men. You know what I mean? He knows what they do in their quiet place when nobody else is around. So, you know, we don't know for sure because all the facts aren't out. They may never all be out. It looks bad because of the sheer amount of women. It's up to over 50 women now. I find it hard to believe that if it's true, it's been 50 women. I believe a certain amount of them have probably just come out. Maybe they felt they've been feeling irrelevant over the years, and this is the way for them to come out and be relevant again. But it looks bad because it appears that Bill Cosby is no angel. And like you said, we have to separate the character on TV from the reality of the man. But I try my best not to be judgmental. You know what I mean? I try to use good judgment, and there's a big difference between the two. You know, if somebody pulls out a gun, it's good judgment to run. But if somebody says he has a gun, I'm not going to be judgmental and say he definitely does, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But, you know, there's a difference between being judgmental and using good judgment. So I'm going to try not to be judgmental and pass judgment on the man because I just plain and simply don't know. But I will say it looked bad.
I mean, it does. It looks bad. And then the fact of the matter is, again, you know, of course there have been cases, Kenny and Dale, you know, throughout the years that women have went to just lengths to literally make up stories. You know what I mean? And, of course, you know, mm-hmm. at the end, you know, the guy prevailed or whatever. But I just feel like, you know, as long as this man's career has been and 50 women, I can see 50 women, you know, that's a lot. And I just really, in my heart of hearts, I feel like everybody can't be wrong. Just like everybody cannot be wrong. Now, there's also, real quick, you know, of course, there's a statute of limitations involved. So, what are they expecting to gain? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, is it just seriously? Like, you know, I don't know if there's going to be any monetary.
So that brings up another point I want to talk about real quick. So, at what point does it make sense to? Because Bill Cosby, up until, you know, this last year when all these allegations really start hitting fans, had been a pretty important guy as far as being a role model for especially young African-American kids. You know what I'm saying? He had been the best probably role model of all time, you know what I mean, for young kids. So after so many years and things go by, what does it make more sense to say, hey, be unselfish and say, I'm not going to come out, even if it did happen, I'm not going to come out and tear this man down because I'm not going to be able to get any money. You know, I'm not going to get anything out of it. I'm not going to get a judgment against him even. He's a role model for half the world, half the children in the world. You know, is it a little unselfish for them to come out and tear this man down at this point?
No, it's not. I don't think so because it's not, because apparently, like we said, we know that there's not going to be any monetary value come from it. I think it's just for them to get it off their chest. When you're holding a secret in such as that for a very long time, and I'm just imagining, because again, you know, our stories are similar. You know, it's hard to come out with something like that. It's just as hard as a person that's gay that's coming out the closet. You know, to tell them.
Right.
It's really hard because number one, you're talking about a figure that. If someone walked up to me and said that about Bill Cosby, especially back in the day, my first thought is going to be they're lying on this man. They want his money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They're making this up because of who he is. But no, that is not the case. Sometimes you things weigh heavy on your heart, and you feel so much better when you release it. And I think that's just what it is. And it only takes one person. All it takes
is
one person.
But what my question is, I understand that for some people, and let's separate different types of people. For some people, you're probably right. It is weighing very heavily on their heart if it's true. And they just came and, you know, to a point where they said, I just got to let it out. But other people may have, like I said before, been feeling irrelevant over the years. They thought they were going to have a career that never really panned out the way they wanted it to. And now this is an opportunity to get back into the limelight and become relevant or get on some TV talk shows, things of that nature, and be seen again. So there's two different possibilities there with some of these women. And then what I'm asking is for the women who it's really weighing on their heart, you know, is it a little, and I'm just asking the question, is it a little selfish for them to say, this is weighing on my heart so bad that I got to bring it out and then go ahead and do it versus continuing to hold it in, even though it's kind of killing me, because this man is such a role model to the children that, you know, I don't want to tear him down and tear all the hopes and dreams of all the children who have looked up to him as well.
It could be that in situations, Dale, like that, is that sometimes some people don't have the courage to step out on their own. In other words, in a situation it's like, okay, I'm afraid to come out and say something because I'm afraid the spotlight's going to be on me or how people are going to look at me, how people are going to judge me, how is it going to affect. And also, too, a lot of these women are not only you know, they're all women. But the thing about it is, they're somebody's wife, somebody's mother, somebody's grandmother. How is it going to affect their entire family? So they're looking like, how my grandbaby's going to feel like when I destroyed Bill Cosby's career, and they've been watching the Cosby Show for years, and they went to an all-black college and everything because the Cosby Show in a Different World inspired them to do so. You see, in a situation like that, is that what you have to do, and I think you have to think about is this. We have a tendency in our society to confuse the myth with the man and the message with the messenger. Bill Cosby is, I'm sure, has done a lot for a lot of people. And like, you know, as Cheryl said a few minutes ago, you know he is not Heathcliff Huxtable. You know, you admire Heathcliff Huxtable. You admire the Huxtable family. But that's not who Bill Cosby was, not entirely at least. So you have to understand, even though he set a positive message and everything, that's not entirely who he was. And although he set a message that we all can admire and everything, he's still a man. He's not God. He is a man. I make mistakes, Dale. Cheryl, you make mistakes. Dale, you make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We're all human. But at the end of the day and all, that should not subtract from the good things that we try to do. I mean, people should understand this. Even though Dale is saying some positive things on the air, he's going to make mistakes. But the difference between a man and a fool is the man learns from his mistakes and everything, owns up to them, and tries to grow. That's part of the human process. And right now, I think what people are so shocked by is that if Bill Cosby has not done any things, how come he's not denying it? How come he's not coming out defending himself? And at the same time, too, why all these women, are they finding the courage now to come out? That's what the questions people are asking. At least that's the ones I'm asking.
Well, and then again, to saying that, again, to reiterate, it only takes one, you know. And of course, everybody, you know what, Kenny and Dale, I'm going to tell you, until the end of time, you know, they're going to have different questions, you know, because everybody's puzzled of, you know, why now? You know, that's the main thing. People, or at least I know, being around people, we've had this discussion, they're asking why now. And that's something that none of us will never begin to understand, the why now, because it's done when that person is ready. As far as what you were saying earlier, Dale, I was thinking too as well, a lot of these women, he did promise careers too. So I can see what you're saying as far as they're like, you know, okay, now I want to be relevant, if I can get a career out of you. So see, he did promise these women, a lot of these women, careers, you know. But at the end of the day, I honestly feel like, again, it only takes one, and then it becomes a domino effect. It only takes one just to come out and say it. And then it is. It's like they're probably, you know, well, who's going to say it? You know, which one of us are going to be the one? But once that one person did, that's all it took.
So let me ask another question then. And by the way, we got a lot of people tuning in today from the 330-912 to 973 to 301. We got the 847. We got the 501. So don't be scared to push that number one if you got something to say.
Yes.
So what I want to ask now is, what impact do you guys really think, you know, this has had, if any, on, you know, the kids or the black community or anybody for that matter? You know, this really just news that everybody's just looking at, or is this really tearing down the dreams of young kids out here? Is Bill Cosby that important to where this is really disrupting things?
And not to the day-to-day life, I don't think. But I think it's the toppling of yet another African-American hero, perhaps. But I've always had the mentality of that. I'd rather find my heroes a little closer to home. Although, you know, Heathcliff Huxtable and his family, and he was, you know, I could turn on TV every Thursday night at 8 o'clock and watch it, and I was laughing stuff and all. But I could look to my left and everything and see my father getting up to work the next morning and make sure I had food in my stomach. So in the larger scheme of things, Heathcliff Huxtable might have been a hero to so many, but people like my father, my uncle, my brothers, those were the heroes that I could actually put my hands on and say, hey, man, you know, and go to them and advise stuff. That's the kind of people you want to look up to. That's something you were talking about a while ago, you know. Yeah, you know, those be your heroes.
That's
Michael
right.
Jordan, you can buy his shoes and all, but he's not coming to your house when your light bill is due. But your dad and your mom, they're right there. That should be your heroes.
That is so true.
I agree 100%.
That is.
I agree 100%.
Wow.
Thank you.
So, why aren't we? Because I mean, why aren't we really? Because really, if you talk to a lot of these kids out here, they're looking up to, and you could tell who they're looking up to by the way they dress, the way they carry themselves, and the things that they do. You could tell they're looking up to the gangster rappers. They're looking up to even the sports heroes who lately especially have become been terrible role models. You know, so why aren't our kids
and not even since you said that, Dale, let me piggyback off this and ask you guys this question. We're excluding females because the domineering sex is males who are actually getting killed out here, the black male, and they are running in gangs. And you're absolutely right, what you just said earlier, Dale, looking up to these rappers opposed to their father who was born out here working a 9-to-5. The majority of them are standing out here on the block, not even selling drugs, just standing on the block. They don't want to go and get an education. Why is that? Why do you guys think it's like and the predominantly black males are doing this? Keep that in mind.
Well,
what do you think?
Go ahead, Dale.
Go ahead, Kenny.
Some of it's flash over substance. I know that growing up, a lot of times I saw guys who would, you know, they wanted a quick and easy way. They didn't want to have to work a 9-to-5, like you just said, and everything. But they saw guys standing on the street corner earning, you know, $500 in 5 minutes, and they had the girls that was jumping up to them because they could go peel off them. Oh, go baby, go, you know, take this $100 and do this and all. So that style over substance and all. So you have that, and now you have, you know, the wrong type of role models. You know, you have women who are wearing clothes that is that's revealing everything, but then, you know, you don't want that. At the same time, they're not giving a man an opportunity to discover the treasure that's buried beneath, you know, all of that. And so they're not getting, in other words, you're not putting yourself in a respectable manner. So it's not easy to be respected. And so you look at those type of role models. You can turn on American Music Awards or the MTV Music Awards, and it's like the loudest, it's like the negative gets all the attention. So your child is at home looking at, you know, I see my dad coming home tired, my mom working, struggling, everything, but I can look and see, you know, a rapper on TV making money and everything. And I want that. I want that lifestyle. I want to be seen as important, because that's what our society tells what's important, is that you have to have money, you have to have the car, you have to have the woman, you have to have the guy to be considered important. That's not true. That's really that's actually a forming of low self-esteem. The fact that you have to be like somebody else to be considered important, that's foolishness. It is.
I'm going to give you I'm going to give you guys an unlimited education answer.
Please.
It's education. It's education. And what you just said is all true. But all of what you just said falls up under education. We forget that kids are sponges. When they are born, they are a human sponge. They need role models because they don't have a clue what to do or how to be or who to be or anything. Everything has to be learned. All they are born with is very basic instinct. And then everything else is learned. So they have to learn who to be and how to be, what to stand for, what not to fall for, and all of that. And it's all done through education, not just through books, but everything they see, feel, touch, everything they witness, the emotions they feel under certain situations and circumstances, all of that becomes education. So they need that role model. So what's happening is, in the black community especially, unfortunately, you know, a lot of the male figures, for we could debate why, but a lot of the male figures are not there, you know what I'm saying? And so therefore, you know, there's no role model to really look up to. So the kids, they naturally looking for a role model. So in the absence of a parent that's a role model, then they are looking somewhere else, on the TV, on the internet, on the streets, wherever they can find a role model so that they can get that education on who to be and how to be, they're going to go that way and get that education. And the mother, poor woman, you know, she's a single parent, you know what I mean, and she's trying to do better for her child, so she's going to work in the daytime, to school at night, and her kid is being educated by somebody other than her. And the father's nowhere around, And the person who's educating that child all day long is letting them watch TV, maybe letting them go outside and play, letting them get on the internet, and they're seeking out role models in other places, and they're not good ones.
Okay, and I can't agree with that, but before I ask you guys this question, let me throw this out there real quick, 818-739-8909. If you guys are listening in, great. Please, if you have anything to say, press that number one, and Dale will chime you in. So speaking of that, with everything that you just said, do you think technology plays a big part? Because you guys have to remember, back in our day, I should say, well, I don't know, Dale, because you about 1,000 years older than I
don't
am.
Don't even go there. And that was totally uncalled for. I just want you to know that.
I had to throw a little humor in there. But back in my
on worldwide radio,
day,
we
say,
are on worldwide radio.
And I said that. He's old. But seriously, Kenny and Dale, back then, you know, we didn't have all of this technology. We didn't have tablets and iPads and iPhones or any type of, you know, phone for that matter. You know what I mean? Hey, when you left the house, you just left the house. There wasn't no phone. You knew to be back in when the streetlights came on. The neighbors was able to chastise you as well for doing something wrong. It's totally different now. Do you think if it was like that now, would they still be old school? If they didn't have this much technology that they do, do you think that the kids would be like our generation was?
Kenny, I defer to you first.
Kenny?
Oh, maybe he's gone again. I think he's gone again.
Well, you go ahead and answer. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'll bring him back on. I think I've seen him. Yeah, technology is a big impact. You got the internet. One of the things that I was going to bring up a little while ago, but my computer wasn't working when the show first started, is Amazon is, you know, the drones that they have now. They're doing they're doing liquor delivery in New York City.
What?
So,
are you serious?
Yeah, and they're going to expand it to other cities. Yeah, so the drone will bring your liquor to you. You know what I'm saying? It's,
are you kidding?
So, yeah, it's getting like Star Trek. You know, people tease me because I like Star Trek, but I'm telling you, you know, we're headed that way sooner or later, whether you want to believe it or not. We're headed towards Star Trek.
But
anyway, you know, you
okay,
got the,
I get that. But I'll
you got the internet.
Go ahead.
But I was just going to say it's a little bit of everything. Internet. And other technologies, the cell phone, you know what I mean? It's also the social economic conditions that have brought us to this point, you know, to a point where women have to, they're single parents and they have to have two jobs or work a job and go to school at night so they're not with the kids and father is has decided, you know. But it all comes back down to, because there's three things that can override technology or anything else that's going on in this society. It's morals, values, and ethics. Okay? You have
right.
to tell your children who their role models are. You have to educate them on who their role models are. When your child is old enough to understand English, you know, I'm your role model. Me. You know what I mean? I will always be here, and I will always be your role model. That basketball star, not your role model. This rap star, not your role model. You got a question, you come to me. You know, and if you don't educate your kids on that, then by the time they're 6, 7 years old, you know, you can't tell them anything then. Their personality has been set. From
yeah,
the 912.
To be told to them. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. From the, yeah, from the 912, I wanted to get them on before they disappear. What do you have to say today? Hello?
Yes.
Hello, 912. Hi.
Hi. Dale, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. All right. You guys were kind of answering the questions as you were asking them, and I really agree. I agree with what Cheryl was saying earlier, and you, Dale. Technology is, I feel like, is one of the reasons they're kind of beating out our role models. our black role models are either in prison or are giving up hope on even being a role model. And as far as a single mother, I was a single mother working and going to college and trying to raise my two boys. And back to the technology. Back in my day, the stuff that they're showing on TV today, they didn't show that back then with internet, for one. You have to go in and you got to put a code in so your child can't watch this. And there's no way for you to buy a package, you know, where if you 5-year-old, I need this kind of package, you know. Most people are not going to take the time to go through and try to see which channels they don't want their child to watch. Most of them can't be home, so that they can monitor what their child is doing. Even with the internet, there's no way, you know, to keep your child from seeing stuff. All you have to do now is just type in something and it's popping up. You know, the most that I could do as a parent was to try to set a limit to how much time they spent on the internet, and that was based on how long it took them to do homework. But there's no telling what they were doing, you know, when I wasn't watching. So I think that technology is a key reason to why we're losing our role. They're beating out our role models. And single parents, single fathers, we don't have time to sit there and monitor our kids, you know, the way we want to. And like you said, Dale, they're looking for these role models, and TV is just making it too convenient for them to fall into the footsteps of the wrong role model.
And now the internet is even worse because the TV still has some restrictions, but the internet has none. You can find anything you want from A to Z on the internet.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, that's
there's no X-rated. There's no X-rated on on the internet. You know,
no.
You can just. What do you guys think? Do you think that the internet should be rated? Because there's talk about this this year right now. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are debating on the Democratic side, and Hillary is a little bit in favor of censoring the internet to some extent. Bernie Sanders is completely against it. What do you guys think? Is it a violation of free speech, or should it be done? And if so, how?
Kenny?
I don't think there's anything wrong with putting any type of a rating on something to let somebody know what they're going to be getting into before they, you know, they click on something. You know, there's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, you can't go buy a bottle of anything without looking at the ingredients on it to know what you're going to get. Oh, we've seen the calories on the back or the nutritional contents on a wrapper of gum. So why in the world you can just click on the internet and go anywhere? That's just crazy to me. So yeah, put the ratings out there. Give people warnings. Give an opportunity to restrict what our children are seeing, because right now they have absolutely no type of filter. If a parent is not right, they're saying, no, you can't have this, no, you can't do this. And they're getting exposed to stuff and all that, quite frankly, their minds are not ready to absorb yet. They're not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, ma'am? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you think?
I think there should be some type of rating on it, but here's one of the things that I see. A lot of parents don't know. I see a lot of adults that don't even know how to work a computer. The kids know more about how to navigate the internet than the parents do. And with these new phones, you know, these kids are being given access to technology too soon, I think. If you don't know how to work a device, your kids shouldn't. You know, you shouldn't give it to your child, and that's just my thinking, you know. If it's not something that you can monitor,
let's just face the facts. This is a fact, in my opinion, but I think hopefully we can all agree on this. The technology is not going to go away. It's just going to increase. You know, we're going to put out more and more technology. It's just the way of the world. We're going to get more and more technologically advanced. And, you know, one thing I hate, you know, I really think it's terrible because at my job, we've got these automatic
toilets and these automatic sinks and the automatic, when you go to get water, it's automatic. So I'm sitting on the toilet, and I don't mean to get vulgar on you guys, but I'm sitting on the toilet, and the toilet flushes by itself. No, literally, the toilet flushes by itself while I'm sitting there, and it's splashing the water up on my behind, the nasty water.
Oh,
you know what I mean? You know what I mean? This is where we're headed. And then you walk up to the water fountain and you put your face down, no water. So you stand up, you re-angle yourself, put your face down, no water. Then all of a sudden, boom, it splashes you all up your nose with water. You know, it's just getting ridiculous. But it's not going away. And so the key to me is not to say that, you know, we want it to go away because it's not going to happen, but how do we deal with it? I think as parents, we have to, well, as a society, I think we do have to put some ratings or something on the internet. As a parent, we've got to find a way to be with our kids more than we are.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to say. Yes, we have to, and then too, you know, you have to instill stuff within your children, because I know. Well, my mom was a single parent when she was a single parent, and my father, you know, they were both single parents. I lived with both of them. They actually were latchkey kids when we got old enough to be, and we knew exactly what we had to do when we came in there. You know, there was no turning the TV on before your homework was done. You know, you had chores, and you couldn't just lay around. There was no such thing as just being lazy, just laying around. You know, and it was that fear. I guess maybe that's what you want to call it. Like, we have this respect for our parents. I should say that I know if we didn't do this, then we're going to be in trouble. You know, these kids don't have that fear, if you will. That is the word. You know, they don't have that fear of their parents. They don't have that respect, you know, to their parents. And then a lot of these parents, for real, act like they're their child's friend instead of parenting. And it all starts with us. That's what I'm saying.
It does.
It all starts with
you're
the
right.
parents. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
And it's and when you say us, you know, I always go back to the morals, values, and ethics. It's the morals, values, and ethics that you have as a parent and then you instill in your children. But we have to be careful to understand that we've got 150 million parents in the United States, and there's no way to get them all to all of a sudden start becoming good parents because they're already set in their ways. So that is, you know, I listen to these panels all the time where you have, you know, Dr. Cornell and all these people, you know, Travis Smiley and all of them, you know, big minds talking about what we should do, and it always comes back to the home. But, you know, in unlimited education, we have identified a problem with that. And the problem is you can't get into 150 million parents' homes and get them to all of a sudden become good parents. So you really have to start with the children and the next generation. You can bring some parents because some people are receptive, like the people on this panel that we're talking on this call right now, on this radio show.
Yes.
But you can't get the masses of them to all of a sudden become good parents. So what we are proposing is morals, values, and ethics education in the schools, because this is the only place where kids have to be, the overwhelming majority of them, you know, 6 to 10 hours a day, 5 days per week, for 13-plus years out of their lives.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
So,
but how do we get these kids to even attend school, these ones that are standing on the block? And again, like I said, there are some that are not out here selling drugs or anything. They are just being lazy. They're just standing there. They're at home.
Well,
they decided they
don't want to go. Let me answer that question. Okay. It's morals, values, and ethics education. Okay. If a kid hasn't first been taught the proper work ethic, then he's not going to show up to school on time, to class on time. He's not going to do his homework. He's not going to go above and beyond. He's not going to do the research or anything because he doesn't have any work ethic. You see what I'm saying? And if you don't teach him the value of his education first, then he don't care. It don't matter how much you pay the teacher.
Anything the teacher says is going in one ear and out the other because the kid doesn't care. Doesn't matter how new the school or the school books or the computer equipment is, the kid don't care. And if you don't teach him the proper morality first, then he can't stay out of trouble long enough to learn. You know, he's always suspended or maybe even incarcerated, you know what I mean? He's in detention or worst case, you know, he's disrupting the class so the other kids can't learn. So we're teaching math, English, and science first when we should teach morals, values, and ethics first, and then math, English, and science. And morals, values, and ethics, the funny thing about it is you can't just teach it once because you've got too much coming at kids and adults every single day. You got TV, you got the internet, you got the streets, you got drugs, you got peer pressure, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, we're
so
evolving.
Morals, values,
yeah,
and ethics
evolving.
Education has to be a continual thing in every grade.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But
I
the
mean,
thing about it is,
life period. Go ahead, Kenny.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Excuse me, Cheryl. But I'm like this.
Oh,
at the same time, too, I know a lot of people. I have a lot of friends who've gone to college. Now they're teaching school on the elementary, middle, and high school level. And they all say the exact same thing, is that they can't educate the majority that are there to learn because of that one or two and everything and all. Who they have to, you know, they have to put discipline there first. And so the people who are really missing out are the ones who are trying to learn. So in other words, you got a child sitting in the classroom who's being bad because his or her mother or father did not teach them to how to be respectful in class, to teach them everything, mm-hmm. how to hold a head with dignity and try to learn and not talk back to somebody. You know, early in this mm-hmm. year and all, I'm sure you guys saw it, when this young girl was slung to the, you know, slung to the ground by the police
mm-hmm.
officer and all, you know, inexcusable,
yes.
inexcusable. But at the same time and all, too, tell your child when authority figure tells you to stop, be quiet and everything and all, don't be, you know, run off at your mouth and all, too. We have to teach
that's
not
right.
only the education we have to give people, our young people and everything now, is not only to make it in the world, it's to survive in this world. I had to sit down and talk to my son and have an education with a conversation with him and everything else. This is what you do when you're near the police officers. Do not talk back. Answer the questions, yes sir, no sir, and everything. And that doesn't mean he's not gonna
exactly.
run into a bad police officer. But at the same time and all too, do not be popping off at the side of your mouth and everything, because honestly speaking, the police are gonna be the least of your problems. You have to deal with daddy too.
So let me throw something else in there real quick. When you were talking about the young girl earlier in the year got slung by the police officer, everybody can agree the police officer was wrong. And I agree with you. The kids should have first been taught, you know, to respect
right.
their authorities at home.
Right.
But like I said a minute ago, you know, we can't just all of a sudden make everybody just decide to become good parents. So the kids are going to come to school, a certain percentage of them, and they're not going to have the proper morals, values, and ethics and respect for authority. You know, they just are. So there's nothing we can do about it. They're going to come to school. Now, so I give some of the blame to the school and the school system. Number one, there was a culture in that school to where that type of behavior was allowed. You know, that wasn't the first time that happened, a girl acting like that. That girl has acted like this before, and other kids have acted like that before as well, so the kids understood that it was okay to act like that and nothing was going to happen. So it's the culture in the school. Number two, that teacher was not properly trained in conflict resolution, okay? You know, and you can go to just about any school. There are some schools, but a lot of the schools you go to, the teachers, the faculty and staff and everything, they're not properly trained in conflict resolution. So when they get a bad kid, they really just don't know how to handle them. You know, you can't argue with a child who's going to argue back with you in front of all the other kids because there's strength in numbers. Okay? If that child wanted to sit there and pout, let her sit there and pout, go on with the class, and you handle that child on a one-on-one basis. And then none of that would have ever happened. So I give a lot of the blame. I give the blame to the police officer and the police force for not properly training that police officer in conflict resolution as well, because even a police officer especially should have that training. And then also in possibly doing the proper background checks, like they should, to hire cops who don't, you know, have temper tantrums and issues and things like that, who can stay calm under situations of pressure and things like that, and that the police forces are not doing the proper background checks. They're not training peace officers and conflict resolution and things like that properly, like the FBI does. And then the schools, they have a culture where bad behavior is allowed, and also the faculty and the staff are not trained in conflict resolution and things like that either. It's a whole big spectrum of issues out there.
Uh-huh. You're right. You're right. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
unfortunately,
absolutely.
We're out of time, everybody.
I know. Great,
you know,
show.
This always happens. You know what I mean? We always have a good show, good conversation. We didn't get through half of last year. We did touch on some of the things that happened last year, or this year, rather. It's not next year yet. But as a closing statement, what would you like everyone to know to end the show, Cheryl?
Just to be aware and educate yourself, you know. Be aware of your surroundings and know what's going on out here in the world. I think a lot of it is because some people are not only blind to the fact, but they don't actually take the time out to read and see what's going on, you know. Turn on the news channel. See what's going on CNN. Grab a newspaper, a news weekly. Seriously, educate yourself, because whether people know it or not, this is, like, happening. This is true life. It's happening. You need to know what's going on in this world and prepare yourself. That's it.
I agree 100%. And a lot of us, we do not pay attention to what's going on. We don't participate in our communities. We don't participate in the political system, and therefore we reap the bad results. I want everybody to, it's a new year coming up. It's a perfect time to get motivated. It's a perfect time to become inspired, and it's a perfect time to renew your faith in God, perfect time to renew everything. You know, we're all going to make New Year's resolution, most of which we won't keep. But, you know, it's a great time to try to make one or two that we can keep and that we are dedicated to keep. And I hope that one of them is that we get involved in our communities, in the Let's Change the World movement. And just for those who don't understand what the movement is all about, it's not a selfish thing. You don't have to go anywhere and register. All you need to do is whatever little bit you can to make a difference in your own community or the life of someone else other than yourself, and you are an automatic member of the movement. The movement is about getting everybody to do whatever little bit we can. So at the beginning of this new year coming up, let's all get motivated and inspired. Whatever good ideas you have to make a difference, let's all come together on this show, on the blog, on Facebook, over on the telephone, and let's make some good things happen for 2016, okay, y'all? And I'm going to leave y'all with what I hope to be is some inspirational music from way back in the day from a legend.
Change. We all are part of God's great big.